What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? If you have ever asked yourself this question, you have likely done some kind of self-inventory and find yourself coming up short. Having assessed your life and your work, you can think of no reason on earth why God would want some kind of first-hand personal encounter with you. And so you think, maybe, just maybe, maybe if I jump ahead, if I acknowledge my unworthiness, then maybe we can skip the part where I am tormented for all of the ways in which I don't measure up. So this man asks, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? See, our Lord Jesus, he's just taken a boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. He has slept through the storm, spoken calm to the wind and the waves, and landed now in the country of the Gerasenes. So since we have a name, the country of the Gerasenes, we know it's opposite from Galilee. Modern historians have tried to locate this country of the Gerasenes with the meticulousness of Roman records. You would think that would not be a problem. But the country of the Gerasenes does not exist, at least not named as such. There are some of our scholars who think Gerasenes is a misspelled word that, when you spell it correctly, means those who have been cast out. So Jesus is visiting a place known as the land of the cast outs, the land of the excluded. And even in this place, even in this place where everyone has suffered, everyone has left what they have loved because they cannot be there anymore. They've been kicked out of someplace else. There is still a social hierarchy that arises that says that some people are better than others. This guy who shows up to greet Jesus is barely considered human by the rest of those who have been cast out. There was a writer I read in preparation for the sermon today who tries to describe this man's experience. These are her words. He haunts the places of the dead. Every night the townspeople hear him shrieking among the tombs. When they are quick enough, they catch him, wrap his wrists and ankles in chains, and haul his naked body, securely shackled, back to town. But there is no containing the crazy. He keeps escaping every time. Trailing broken chains behind him, he wanders the wilds, tearing at his skin until it bleeds, trading one kind of pain for another. If this man has a name, no one knows it. If he has a history, no one remembers it. If he has a soul worth saving inside of his living corpse, no one sees it. No one even looks. Until Jesus does. See, this guy is literally trying to scare our Lord away. He is shouting at the top of his voice, trying to encourage Jesus to leave him alone. He knows that he is not good enough to be in the presence of the divine. Jesus interrupts this man's self-doubt and self-loathing to ask a question. Jesus wants to know, what is your name? Who are you? How do you want to be called? Put aside the labels and the name-calling that others have placed on you. Search beneath the fear and the shame. Who were you before you lost yourself? Remember. Remember that you are a person. And not just the sum of your illnesses and afflictions. Jesus asks this man, tell me your name. But this man can't answer. He has not yet reclaimed his voice. So the demons speak for him. They are legion. Between 5,000 and 6,000 demons have gotten a hold of this man. He is so chock full of demons, he literally cannot name them all. Legion is a Roman military term, and it is no accident. No accident, I tell you, that this is what's being used to describe these demons. Because these demons are the powers and the principalities of this world that have gotten a hold of our guy. It is the weight of everything that we renounce in our baptismal rite. When we say that we denounce and defy all evil and all of the forces that defy God. Let me try that line again. Got my tongue all twisted around. When we renounce in our baptismal rite evil and all of the forces that defy God, these are a legion of demons. And even now, even today, we call them by different names, but each of us encounters a legion of demons all the time. These things that draw us away from ourselves. Demons that make us forget who we truly are. And so we encounter death and disease and mental illness, and we struggle to retain the best of our truest self. But we also encounter demons like addiction and anxiety, shame and greed, resentment, anger, fear, self-centeredness, and loneliness. Our money and our search for more stuff that might help fill that void, becomes part of these demons as well. This week also marks the anniversary of several of our brushes with the demons of racism. June 19th is the anniversary of an event that we call Juneteenth. The day in 1865, where 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, finally that news of freedom makes its way to slaves in Texas, who for 2 years, their owners have been living illegally, keeping these folks from knowing that they are free. It's also 4 years this week since the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, where one of our young ELCA boys walked into Mother Emanuel AME Church and shot and killed 9 people because of the color of their skin. See, we think we have conquered these demons a long time ago. We think that demons aren't really a thing in our society anymore. They are. They just take different names. They take different forms. These demons of racism and sexism and classism, they just keep popping up their ugly heads. And we chock full of demons ourselves, we cry out to God, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High God?" We think there couldn't be any possible reason that God would want to have some kind of firsthand personal encounter with us. We're just not worthy. We just don't measure up. But our Lord sees beyond the demons, sees beyond the chasm that separates us from our community. Our God sees all the way back to when we were created and formed from the very dust of the ground. Our God is the one who sees back to when life was breathed into each of us, and we were called good. Our God is the one who knows that we are still that, even underneath the weight of all of these demons. So what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Well, this Jesus of Nazareth, we know, is the one who will leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness to go and find the one who is lost. Our God looks beyond all the demons that have seized our soul and is the one who calls us by our name, the one who tells us that we are beloved. There is no place you can go, no place you can go where you are so excluded and so cast out that Jesus cannot redeem you. The guy in our story today was the most excluded of all of those who had been cast out. He was the worst of the worst, barely seen as human. And he wonders why Jesus would bother with him at all. But that is exactly what Jesus does. Goes and bothers with the rest, with those in the world that the rest of us would leave well enough alone. Goes and finds us when we are at our worst, when we are at our lost, when we are in over our head and we can't figure out how to keep going and how to take the next step. Jesus is the one who sees beyond all of those demons, that legion of demons that we carry around with us each and every day, the one who can set us free from the chains that bind us, the one who calls you by name and says, child of God, you are beloved and you belong. You belong to God and you belong as a part of this world and you belong to this community. And you will always find home. Amen.